Service to the Lord Jesus Christ requires the ability to live in the spiritual realm. That requirement poses the greatest challenge possible to those who follow the Savior. For they have been conditioned since their earliest days to respond to the physical world around them. They learn not to touch hot surfaces, lest they should be burned. They learn not to step out in front of vehicles so as not to be injured or killed. They learn that they must protect themselves against the elements of the weather. They learn to recognize warning signs of potential disease in their bodies. The disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ had grown up in the same circumstances. They had been trained in a similar fashion. After all, this training is fairly common, I dare say, in the world, regardless of the location or the place in history. But of course, the great danger in such training is that it can neglect the reality of the world that cannot be perceived with the human senses. When the disciples obeyed the call to follow Christ, they entered a sphere of activity in which their well-trained reliance on their senses proved to be inadequate time after time. They had witnessed deeds already by this point that had reduced them to amazement. They had seen a raging storm on the Sea of Galilee reduced to calm in an instant. They had seen a man get up and walk who had been let down through the broken up roof of a house so that he could meet the Lord, a man who before that time could not walk. They had seen various situations where anything but the conventional wisdom had prevailed. And yet it seemed that for all they had witnessed, they had not very readily shed their old way of thinking. They still tended to respond on the basis of what they saw and heard and felt. The instance of the woman with the issue of blood provided another occasion where the disciples could display that tendency. The account of the incident appears in each of the synoptic Gospels, with Matthew 9 and Luke 8 being the other chapters where you may read of this story. The context is unmistakable. The fame and popularity of Jesus of Nazareth had grown to such an extent that wherever he traveled, particularly in Galilee, where this story takes place, large crowds accompanied him or waited for him in each town. And that was the case on this occasion. He had come across the Sea of Galilee from the country of the Gadarenes, where he had cast the devil or the demon out of a man. And when he arrived on the other side, on the western side of the Sea of Galilee, presumably at Capernaum, the Lord met almost immediately a man who was one of the rulers of the local synagogue. His name was Jairus, and he was in deep distress because he had a 12-year-old daughter who was gravely ill. She was at the point of death. He had heard. How could he not have heard of the miracles that Jesus of Nazareth had done? And he had no reason to doubt any of the accounts he had heard. He understood that his daughter's situation was dire, and that the power of Jesus of Nazareth appeared to be the last hope for her recovery. So He left the bedside of his dying daughter to seek out Jesus of Nazareth, and he implored him to come and to touch his daughter so that she would live. Whether he was surprised by the response of the Lord or not, we don't know, but the Lord agreed readily to go with him. And then intervened in each of the gospel accounts this curious event. There was a woman also in that town who was completely ignorant of the drama that was taking place in the home of Jairus. She was in the midst of her own drama. For the entire lifespan of that daughter of Jairus, this woman had been in the throes of what seemed to be an incurable disease for 12 years. She had sought medical care, but her condition had grown steadily worse. She too had heard about Jesus of Nazareth, and she too resolved to seek him out. But she did not feel it necessary to speak to him. She wanted only to get close enough to touch his clothes. She was convinced that if she could touch his clothes, his power would heal her of her disease. Now, when she got to the place where the Savior was progressing through the streets, she must have been alarmed at first, because he was surrounded by people. But she believed in his power, and she worked her way through the crowd. The people were pressing up against Jesus of Nazareth as he walked along, but finally she was close enough so that she was within reach of him. And how it happened exactly, we're not told. We don't know if she fell in her effort to touch him and brush the bottom of his clothing, or whether she merely was able to get her hand through the people next to the Lord and touched him for a split second. But in that instant, something happened. In that instant, she knew that she had been healed. Then came the question of the Savior, "Who touched my clothes?" In the other accounts, in Matthew and Luke, he asked simply, "Who touched me?" Obviously, the disciples thought that the question of the Lord was directed at them, and they had no idea who the person could have been. They looked on all the people that were pressing upon the Lord, and they could only respond by a question of their own. "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" Often in the effort to consider the situation as a whole, the detail of this exchange is missed. For in these two questions between Jesus and his disciples, there is a powerful truth being expounded. The Lord was challenging his disciples not to rely entirely on their upbringing. He was trying to get them to the reality that there was more to touching than physical contact, that there was more to reality than the identity of those who had brushed against him. The Lord was leading his disciples to the truth that the life to which he called them would require from them the ability to live in the realm of that which is invisible. He was urging them to get to the place where they would see beyond the externals. I want you to think upon that theme with me today, beyond the externals. It's a challenge to which the Lord would continually exhort his people. We must learn to exercise our spiritual eyesight, if you will, and to understand that the realm of service to Christ demands that we not rely on the externals. Now, don't get me wrong. We are not to deny the externals as though they did not exist. We are not to adopt the approach of the philosophers and the mystics who pretend that the externals are nothing but a delusion. This woman had a tangible disease, and it was draining the life out of her body quite literally. She could not simply adopt the power of positive thinking, like a follower of what is called Christian Science, and pretend that she was not really sick. You may have heard the story about the son of a woman who practiced what is called Christian Science. There was another woman who lived on their street who was very ill. This woman told her son that the woman down the street was not really ill at all, but that she just thought that she was. One day the boy said to his mother, "You know that woman down the street who thinks that she's sick?" "Yes, son, I know her. Well, now she thinks that she's dead." And so that is the approach that Christian Science takes. We're not talking about that kind of approach. We're talking about the challenge to live in the power of the realm that is invisible to our senses. We're to live in the realm of faith. And here's a reminder to those who are not saved, that this life is but a shadow of that which is really true. You have to get beyond the externals. You have to see Him who is invisible. I want you to notice four aspects of this incident that serve to illuminate this theme. First, faith's quiet desperation. The gospel narrative presents the fact of what the woman did and afterward presents her motivation. That is, we see what happened, then we learn what led her to do that. Now, it's always a dangerous thing to assess the motivation of another person unless you have the inspired commentary of the Holy Spirit, as we do here. We learn in the context about the apparent hopelessness of her condition. She had been, we read, to numerous doctors, and they had done nothing to improve her situation. She had spent all her financial resources, but her condition had only become worse, and she knew that death was just around the corner. But she had heard of Jesus of Nazareth, and she had heard of the amazing things that He had done. No doubt she heard of that incident that is recorded in Mark chapter 2, just a few pages back. The incident of the man who was not able to walk. He was sick of the palsy, the scriptures tell us. And because he was not able to walk, he could not get to where Jesus was, but he had four friends. And they resolved that they would get him there. So they carried him there in his litter, his bed. And when they got there, the house where Jesus was packed with people. And they couldn't get in. And so those men took their friend and they took him up the steps of the house to the roof. Houses in that area, in that time especially, had rooftops that could be accessed by stairs, and people often, in the heat of the summer, would sleep on their rooftops so as to get some cooling. So they went up to the roof with their friend, and there they proceeded to break up the roof, to uncover it, and to open a hole up in the roof, down into the house below, and they let him down by means of cords into the very room where Jesus was. And of course, Jesus announced that he was forgiven of his sins, and Jesus healed him. So he was able to walk. And this story was told all over Galilee. And perhaps she had seen this man walking about in that area. In any event, we learn that she had resolved that if that man could have been healed of whatever it was that kept him from walking, she could be healed. And so she resolved that she would gain access to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to observe her humility here. She did not insist on speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. She didn't insist on having him touch her or say anything to her. She just wanted to touch him, just for an instant. Here is what I call the desperation of faith. She wanted to get in contact with Jesus Christ. She needed his power. She needed a miracle, and only Jesus could provide it. And is that not the position of every sinner today? You need to get into contact with Jesus Christ. There's a famous song that speaks about how Jesus touched the songwriter. He touched me. Well, we need the touch of Christ upon us, that's for sure. But faith is seeking contact with him. It's seeking contact with Christ. Faith seeks out Christ. Where is your faith today? If you're not converted, why are you not desperate to get into contact with Jesus of Nazareth? He is passing by. He is here today. He has come to speak to you today. A week ago yesterday, we were with the young people up in the Flagstaff area. We were visiting the ruins of the Pueblo at Wapatki, just to the northeast of Flagstaff. It was a place that was inhabited by a sizable number of people centuries ago. And you can walk through that area now. It's been excavated. Some restoration's been done. Some stabilizing has been done so that the ruin will not collapse. But in the various rooms, you can see pieces of implements that the people who lived there actually used. And as we were walking along and I looked at those things, I just was overtaken by the thought that people who sat there and ground meal, whatever other grain they used, and prepared food, and went through other activities, the people who did those things are now either in heaven or in hell, and have been that way for centuries. And I am fearful that most, if not all of them, are in hell. Here is the issue for you. You have to get into contact with Christ. The only way to avoid the wrath of God is through Christ. So here was this woman. She was struggling to get through the crowd. She would not be put off. There's so many obstacles before her. And yet she kept trying to reach him, trying to get her hand through there. And then in an instant, she touched him. And in that instant, she felt his power in her body. Here is the lesson in the dynamic of faith that we must observe. It would not be denied. It would not let go. She wouldn't be turned back. Everything that could discourage her, she wouldn't allow that to intervene. She had to get to him. And then in that instant, faith found its glorious object. And that's the thing I want to emphasize. It was not the faith itself that was the central issue. It was the object of that faith. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. She said, I need to touch Him. And in that moment, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is aware of what is beyond the externals. He was aware of what was beyond the touch. And that's the second thing I want you to see. Christ's keen sensitivity. The Lord Jesus, we read, knew. He knew that someone had come into access of His power. There can be no doubt that He knew who it was. The question that He asked here was not for information. He was not saying to His disciples, look, you find out who it was. You tell me who it was. Judging from the details in the passage, I believe He knew who it was. He knew that a woman in deep need of soul and of body had come into contact with Him. Now in a few moments we're going to deal with His face-to-face meeting and look at some of those details. But let us ponder the reality of His awareness here of the needs of individuals. Here in the midst of the crowd, He was taken up with one person. He was dealing with an individual in deep need. It was more for Him than a matter of a physical disease, an issue of blood that was incurable. He was dealing with an immortal soul. A soul that would live forever in heaven or in hell. And as surely as we are here this day, and as surely as I am speaking to you this day and you are hearing my voice, so surely will every one of you be in heaven or in hell. And it's not going to be on the basis of what you think or what I think. It's going to be on the basis of what we find in the Word of God. If you trust in Christ, you will be in heaven. If you rest in His work, you will be in heaven. If you trust in yourself, you will be in hell. And you'll never get out of it. Here was the situation. When we come to look at the Lord Jesus, we have to get beyond the externals. He had a keen sensitivity to the deep needs of others. And that was a lesson He was seeking in this question exchange to impress on His disciples. Such was the awareness of our Savior to the needs of sinners that He went all the way to the cross to take their sins in His own body and to be punished with the furious wrath of God, so that they could be delivered from the curse of their sins. That's the only way out. Here was the Lord's keen sensitivity, and then what followed the Lord's question was the retort of the disciples that illustrated just how much they still had to learn. Well, that's the third thing. Unbelief's callous carnality. The disciples were amazed and they were dismayed by the Lord's question. You're asking us? Who touched you? Look at all these people about. Look at them jostling you. Look at them pressing upon you. And do you ask us? Who touched you? That was the spirit, really, of the remark, whether they use that tone or not. But certainly it comes through. This man that we've been following, he's a little bit unaware of what the reality is here. But what was the problem with them? They were looking at the externals. All they could see was all these people jostling him and pressing upon them and perhaps jostling them as well. They could see the crowd. But they were totally oblivious to the individuals in the crowd. Couldn't the Lord see the crowd? Didn't he know that it was a crowd? Didn't he feel the pressure of all the people? How could he ask them to identify the person who had touched them? A lot of people were touching him. We have a tendency to follow the same line of reasoning. We think in terms of groups or crowds. We miss the individuals. Let us remember that the word of the gospel is a word to individuals. Here's a word that's coming to you today. It's coming to you as an individual. As surely as you're here today, you will be brought before God to answer and give account for what you have done with the word that comes to you as an individual. And you won't be able to look around and say, well, the other people were there. It will be a word to you. The Lord deals with people individually. What is your need individually? The Lord has an answer for you today. Let us get beyond this callous carnality. Get beyond the externals and understand the spiritual reality of the Lord's Word. For then we will hear the last part of the story. That's the fourth thing. Salvation's arresting testimony. The woman we read here knew that a miracle had been done in her body. If we turn over to one of the parallel accounts in the Gospel of Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 47. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. Notice, she could not be hid. Well, there are a lot of sinners who seek anonymity in the crowd. It's one of the attractions of the mega churches, you know. People can go there and get lost. They imagine they can be hid. Well, here was a woman who was in the midst of a big crowd, but she realized that Christ knew who she was. That's why I said earlier, I believe he knew who she was from the moment. From that moment that she touched him. She had been healed. And that moment, when she came into contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, had been fixed in his mind from before the foundation of the world. Here was one for whom he came into this world. One of his own flock. He came to save her. And here was the testimony that the Lord expressed to her. We read that she told him everything. In Mark, it's put this way, she told him all the truth. And what did he say to her? Daughter, thy faith hath saved thee. Thy faith hath made thee whole. That is, many other people, and here's the thing I would have you remember, many other people that day who may have had similar needs, touched Jesus of Nazareth. She was not the only one that touched him. Many others touched him. But her touch was the touch of faith. She knew if she could come into contact with him, she would be healed. That's why he said, "Daughter, thy faith hath saved thee. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." She believed. And in believing, she gained access to his saving, healing power. And here's the word today to the people of God. Get beyond the externals. Look beyond the externals. It's hard for us to do. We're trained from our earliest days to be taken up with them. We need to get beyond them. We need to see people as individuals in need of the gospel. And it's a word to sinners today. And you may be here today without Christ. If so, this is a word for you. You need to be saved. You need to come into contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. To have done with reliance upon your own efforts. How many people there are who go through life thinking, well, if they can just do a little better, they can just improve a little bit more, they can just avoid for a little longer doing those things they know they shouldn't do, then somehow God will accept them and forget all the rest. It'll never work. It will never work. If Luther in the monastery could not gain the favor of God by beating himself and lying unclothed on the cold stone floor of his monastery cell, if he could not gain God's acceptance in that way, neither will you. You need to come to Christ. You need to trust in him. You need to know that only in the Lord Jesus Christ is there salvation. Not in a church, not in baptism, not in good works, however honorable they may be in the eyes of the world. Your testimony needs to be the testimony of this woman. If I can but touch him, I shall be made whole. She touched him. She was made whole. And she heard those words, "Go in peace." I trust that today there will be people who will hear that word of Christ, "Go in peace," because you have come into contact with the power of the God-man.